This is our third message on the series where there is no church. We've already handled two messages on this same series. And in our last two messages on this series, we saw the need to deepen our personal relationship with the Lord through giving the maximum time possible in seeking God, finding God, knowing God, loving God, ministering to God at the overflow of our love relationship with God. And then in our last message, we actually looked at preparing the ground through our prayer and our life, the right living, so that very soon a church may actually be where we are as the overflow of our own life relationship with the Lord. John the Baptist was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And this is the same ministry that you will have to carry out where there is no church, in order to prepare the way for the Lord, so that it will not be long before we actually have a church where you are now, where there is no church. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, Luke chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible tells us something, and they said, Lord, we should learn from it. The Bible says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and every place where he was about to go. So before the Lord Jesus Christ went anywhere, he actually appointed people who were sent ahead of him two by two. You are an appointee or ambassador of the Lord Jesus, sent to that particular place right now where there is no church, in order to prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Remember that the church of God is the body of Christ in a particular place. So if the Lord will come where you are, if the church will be there, you are the one who will prepare the way. The Lord sent his disciples two by two. Before he went to any place, he sent us who went ahead of him. And for you now, where there is no church, you have actually been appointed by the Lord and sent by the Lord to prepare for his coming where you are now. In our teaching today, we shall be examining how you can watch your life and reach out with your life where there is no church, so that through your life, that is actually a seed in the hand of the Lord, a church may soon emerge. Examining how, where you find yourself where there is no church, how you can watch over your life, because your life is the most important thing that you have. If you actually mess up your life, you will not only stay where there is no church, you will actually block the next person who could have come there, and the Lord would have used him to plant a church. So you need to watch over your life. And secondly, you need to reach out with your life. The most important thing you have in your hand is your life. And your life is one of the most important investments the Lord has here on earth. He has invested so much into your life, and by sending you into that new locality where there is no church, he's actually counting on you. So you ought to watch over your life, so that precious thing is not lost, is not ruined, is not messed up, and you become an obstacle to the church of God. You actually ought equally to reach out with your life, because all that God wants to do in that place, He has deposited so much already in your life. Like the Bible says, the Lord has given to us all that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he has given to you all that you need. He has deposited all that is needed in order that a church, the church of God, may emerge where you are now. We shall look at seven key points in watching over your life and in reaching out with your life. Our point number one is watching over your life. Actually, watching over your life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, Hebrews 13, verse 17, it actually says, obey your leaders. It asks us to obey our leaders and submit to their authority because they watch over our life as men who will give an account. Our leaders watch over our lives, and suddenly you have found yourself where there is no church, and apparently you may have no leader, you actually may have no leader who is watching over your life, so you ought to watch over your own life. Watching over your life as if you were the leader now over your life, to do the same thing if you became the leader of another person, how will you watch over his life as a person who will give an account over his life to the Lord? So consider yourself when there is no church as someone who is in the locality or who has no one else to watch over his life, and begin to watch over your life. Watch over every aspect of your relationship with God. Watch over your normal Christian life. Watch over your waking up early in the morning to meet God through your daily dynamic encounter with God. Watch over this massive time, enough time that you set aside each day to meet God through praying alone, to meet God through reading the Word, to meet God through reading Christian literature, through which you fellowship with many other church fathers. You will particularly need to guard yourself against sin and compromise. Temptations are normally many when you find yourself alone. If you sin or compromise your Christian stand, you may never be able to start a church where there is no church. Watch out and make sure that you resist every temptation that comes your way. And there will be many temptations to compromise. You are actually where there is no church, and there's nobody who has an eye on you. And that is when you find yourself in such a situation, your real Christianity will be lived out. And remember, like the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, from verse 8, it said, be alert, be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You have an enemy. You are not just alone there. The Lord is there, as we saw in our first message. But Satan is also there. He is there with a mission. He says, your enemy, the devil. You have an enemy. He's roaming around, roaring, looking for someone to devour. He is looking for someone who is careless with his life. If you are there careless with your life, the enemy will soon devour you. And what does the Bible say we should do? The Bible says, resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are equally undergoing the same kind of suffering. Satan is really targeting to attack the believers all over. You are alone where you are now, and the same thing that is happening to you, the same temptation you are meeting, the same attacks of the enemy that you are having, many other believers are having the same. By the time you come and tell somebody, I was attacked, I was tempted, and I yielded, you will hear someone saying, I was tempted and I did not yield. Do not yield to the enemy to ruin your life. Resist him. Another version of that says, be disciplined. It is actually the life of indiscipline. Indiscipline that makes the devil to have control over people's lives. Be disciplined with your life. Be disciplined in your relationship. Be disciplined with your eating habit. Be disciplined in all that you do. When a man becomes indisciplined, he ends up not being allowed, and the enemy will get him because he becomes careless. Be disciplined, be alert, and the tempter, the enemy near you will not come and get you. In many ways, what does the devil do? He comes in a very subtle way, in a very wise way, very soft way, and very appetizing way. You should resist him. The Bible says we should not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. The enemy comes in many diverse ways. He actually sometimes comes like a sheep, like a wolf in sheep clothing. It may just be your friends, it may just be your neighbors. They will just say, come, let's just go here. It's very innocent. There's nothing wrong in going there. And by the time you realize, you have started compromising your Christian stand. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible tells us what we should do as concerns our attitude to sin should be. He said, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. So actually, God wants us that even when we meet temptation, when we are struggling against sin, we should resist if need be to die. Tell yourself you would rather die than to commit sin. After all, the Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? The person who cannot watch over his life, if you cannot watch over yourself alone, how will you watch over the church of God when 100 people later on are given into your hand? If 100 people are given into your hands, how will you watch over them? We started this message by saying that our leaders, they watch over our life as men who will give an account. So there are people who have been watching over your life. Now it is time for you to watch over someone's own life. If you cannot watch over your own life, it means that you don't qualify to watch over the life of any other person. You are still a baby. You are irresponsible. Watch over your life. You don't need somebody to tell you to stand up and pray. You don't need somebody to tell you to read your Bible. You don't need somebody to tell you that is sin. Run away from it. You don't need somebody to tell you, don't go to that place. If you go there, you'll be tempted. And the easiest way to stay away from sin is to try to stay away from places that you will be tempted. Flee. There are things that will run away. Tell yourself that you are not strong enough. The Bible actually tells us that let him who think that he stands, take heed lest he fall. When you begin to think that you are too strong against temptation, you have actually become too foolish. The devil will get you. So that was our point number one, watching over your life. No one will do it for you. You watch over your life by praying over the details of your life. You watch over your life by praying that as you are going out, you will be covered. I will be blind to any attraction that will take away your soul from God. And the only person who can pray for you and you actually know he has prayed for you is you yourself. If you don't pray for yourself, how do you know that somebody else is praying for you? Point number two, maintain your spiritual zeal. Maintain your fire for God. Maintain that heat that you have. Maintain your first love. Make sure you do not lose your first love. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. I will read it. Here I wrote down in the King James Version, he said, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That whatever you set out to do, do it in an aggressive way. Put your whole being into it. Don't become a sloth. Don't become slothful. Don't begin to trap your feet in serving God where you are, in doing anything where you are. Don't lose your spiritual fire. Do not let your zeal die or reduce. Decide to be hot for the Lord. Whatever you set out to do, put your all into it. Sharpen your spirit through the word. Sharpen your spirit. The Lord told Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he said, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it day and night. Set out that whether at night you will be meditating on the word of God. During the day, you will be meditating on the word of God. And what is that meditation? It is this deep thinking. As you read the word, you begin to think about it deeply every day, deeply every second, as you interact with the world. Let the word of God dwell richly in you, so that you will use it to admonish yourself, to encourage yourself. Don't let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth. For some people, for them, it is depart from their hands. You can hold a big Bible in your hand, but you have no word of the Lord in your mouth. Before the word of the Lord leaves your hand and enters your mouth, you have read it, you have understood it, it has entered your heart, you have meditated on it, you have thought deeply about it, and then after a time, that becomes your language. Your language is not the language of fear. Your language is not the language of depression, economic collapse. Your language is not the language of coronavirus. Your language is not the language of we shall all die. Your language is what God says, because the language of the Spirit is the word of God. The spiritual believer is a believer who speaks the language of God's word. In difficult circumstances, he is not hearing what people are saying. He is speaking what the word of God says. He's able to say, 1,000 will fall at my right, 10,000 at my left, but the blood will not come near me. He knows what the word of God is saying. He's able to tell me the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run between and they are safe. And I'm one of the righteous and I'm hiding under the name of the Lord. While the whole world is panicking, he knows in whom he has believed. So the word of God has not changed. What God told Joshua is not different from what he is telling you even right now. Give time to the word. Sharpen your spirit through reading the word, meditating on the word, memorizing the word, speaking the word, preaching the word, and sitting under the ministry of a teacher. And sometimes your teacher may just be that phone that you have. That there's like a message there, then you listen over it again and again. Sharpen your spirit through fasting, through time alone with God in prayer. One of the secrets of maintaining spiritual zeal where there is no church is to exaggerate what you used to do before. Remember, you used to read your Bible when you were, if you used to read 6 chapters, remember, where there were other people, they will equally come and add to what you have. Why don't you just double the number of chapters you read? If you have read 6 chapters, double it. If you have prayed 2 hours, double it. Exaggerate your spiritual performance. That is one of the ways to keep your spiritual zeal hot, burning, to keep the fire. You don't need someone to keep an eye on you. Keep an eye on yourself. Why don't you use the extra time? Before, when there was a church, there were many people interacting with you. Many believers coming and went. Now you have the time alone to yourself. And I'm thinking about some of us who are all locked in quarantine, where there's virtually no one with whom you may meet. Why don't you spend that time tell myself, I am going to take this 1 month, and what I could not do in a year, I am going to do it in 1 month. The enemy will try to attack you through loneliness, through depression, through discouragement, through boredom. Resist him. Don't live by your feeling. One of the ways that the devil attacks believers is that suddenly he brings a sense of depression, of loneliness, of dryness near you. We don't live by our feeling, we live by our faith. And suddenly he may tell you that, look, 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 God is not with you. God has abandoned you. You have been abandoned. You are here alone. Why don't you use that period that way? You are there alone. Ask for wilderness, a time to spend alone with God. It is not a time to be discouraged. It's not a time to feel bored. David, there were moments that David had to minister to himself. In Psalms 43 verse 5, I will read to you from the New Living. He said, why am I discouraged? Why is my soul, my heart so sad? Why am I discouraged? Imagine King David, he found himself at one point discouraged. Suddenly all of hell may be loose, setting loose against you to discourage you. And sometimes you ask yourself, why was I even be discouraged? A great man, Elijah, who has just carried out a great spiritual feat, set up and very soon was discouraged. I started speaking to himself and telling God, I am not better than my ancestors. You can feel discouraged. Why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? And then he said, I will put my hope in God. And I will praise him. It is here that he told himself, my soul, rise up and praise the Lord. My soul, rise up and pray. The moment you should preach to yourself, finding yourself when there's no church, come on, begin to preach to yourself. Speak to yourself. Preach to yourself. Tell yourself, rise up and praise the Lord. Tell yourself, I will praise the Lord. You must praise the Lord. Move around alone and begin to praise the Lord. Look outside and begin to listen how the birds are praising the Lord and join them in the natural, the choir of nature, and begin to praise the Lord. Command your soul to praise the Lord. Do not yield to discouragement. It is Satan who will be born to soon lull you into sin. When Satan wants to get somewhere into sin, he makes the person lonely. He discourages the person. And after a time, you begin to tell yourself, after all, if I'm useless, why don't I even just give myself to one sin or the other? Where there's no church, come on, encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't yield to discouragement. Our point number 3, shine out your Christian life. Shine out your Christian life. Your ministry does not first begin with speaking. Your ministry begins by living out this Christ-like life. Christ in you. Live him out, and it will not be long before the whole world will begin to see. The Lord Jesus Christ said, we are the light of the world. We are just going to read something in Matthew chapter 5 from verse 14. He said, we are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. We are the light of the world. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Shine out your light. Don't hide your Christian life. You may not speak, but will not be long before everybody is saying, that woman is very kind. That woman is very gentle. That woman is very compassionate. He pities others. That woman, she's ever the one who comes when we are having problems, shine out the light of Christ. It is first of all your life that causes people to turn to glorify the Lord, not your world. When there is no church, shine out your light. Shine it out. And as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, very soon people will ask you of the hope that is in you. They will see the Christ in you. The Bible says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. If Christ in you is hidden, come on, shine him out. And people will see. And very soon, they will turn to ask you, why are you so different? And that's an opportunity for you to introduce your Savior to them. You are the salt of the earth. Change the rotten environment in which you find yourself. You are the salt. Change that rotten environment. Change the rotten environment with your life. Very soon, the people who are speaking immorality, who are speaking corruption, who are speaking wickedness, murderous thought, because of your presence, you as the salt of the earth, because of your presence, very soon the language of the people where you are will change. Shine out your light. Shine out. Be the salt. People may resist your word, but a holy life cannot be resisted. A holy life cannot be resisted. Shine out your light. Shine out your light. Be the salt. Change multitude by your life. Why don't you be a good Samaritan? Why don't you identify with the people who in their need, seek the right opportunity to minister, particularly to the people who are hurting? Reach out to the people who are hurting. Reach out to the hurting people. Reach out to those who are wounded. If you identify them, identify with them in their pains, it will not be long before they will identify with your God. Opportunities always present themselves as problems to be solved. When you run away from problems in the life of people to solve, you are actually running away from great opportunity to win them for the Lord. So by reaching out to the hurting person in a family, the door may soon be open to you in that particular family. And such a family may soon be your first house church in that locality. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who reached out to the sick, he reached out to the hungry, he reached out to the million wounded people, he reached out to those who were possessed by demons, and very soon, these same people, they were the one following him all over. The people who tomorrow will be your co-workers, who tomorrow will be part of your church, are actually problems around you today. If you set out to reach out to them, you will soon see the same thing that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. The Bible tells us, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuzah, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So at one time, there were sick people. At one time, they were demon possessed. At one time, they were the rejected of the society. And then Jesus reached out to them And here we see them being the same people who are following Jesus and his disciples to take care of their needs. The first miracle of Jesus was actually carried out to rescue an embarrassed person who was celebrating his wedding, and suddenly all everything was finished. Jesus reached out to people in time of their need. There were many needy people around him. There were many needy people. In time of their crisis, God expects you to reach out to them, and it will not be long before they are equally standing with you. That was our point number three. Shine out your light. Let the Christ in you be seen outward. Let the Christ in you be seen in the good deeds you are doing. Let the Christ in you be seen in the ministry you are carrying out in the life of others. Point number four. Watch out the type of relationship you keep. The Bible says, evil company corrupts good morale. If you find yourself where there is no church, it may actually mean there's no believer. Very soon, if you are not careful, you will start keeping the wrong relationship with people and actually compromising and doing what they are also doing. Let it be clear to everybody that you are a friend of sinner, but you are not in friendship with their sin. You don't rescue a drowning man by drowning yourself. Set out to win them, but let it be clear, you don't compromise your relationship with them to please, your relationship with God to please them. Keep away from their sin, but labor to rescue your soul. Point number five, maintain fellowship with other believers in different localities. The church of God is big, it's universal. Where there is no church, where you are, there is no established. The church of God is established in other places. The body of Christ is larger than your town. Use your phone, use the social media to get in touch with other believers. Call and let people know what is happening to you. Ensure that you have a mature believer to whom you are accountable, who is knowing what is happening to your life. Point number six, where there is no church, you will find yourself where there is no church. Money is directional. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Watch out that you do not take the opportunity and start cheating God in tithe and offering, and very soon a curse comes upon you. What are you supposed to do in your giving to God? The first thing we advise you is put the money aside. If where you are, you actually came from a place where there was a church and you were already part of a local church, send your giving to that church. If you were not part of any church anywhere, put the money aside, put it into an account, until the time reaches where a church is established in that locality where you are. Don't be tempted to use that money. It is not yours. The devil will bring many needs. Resist the temptation so that you don't start operating under a curse. Resist the enemy. So where there is no church, watch out how you use your money. Watch out how you use your time. Make sure you give to God. Our last point number seven, in watching over your life and reaching out with your life. Set out to establish your spiritual family where there is no church. Set out to establish a family. We're not talking about a biological family. Before you actually have what you call an organized church, you need a family that you have established. This will be the overflow of your life, of your love relationship with people and with the Lord. The overflow of your love relationship as you relate with people, it will not be long before you have a family. And that family actually will even be deeper than your biological family where you came from. Preach the word, win the lost, build those who have won to the Lord, meet them as often as possible. So set out of this pagan town, this sinful town. We have said flow out. By the time of life you are living, now set out to establish a spiritual family. Preach the word. Win those to whom you preach. Build them and meet with them. Get attached to them and get them attached to you. Get them to visit you where you are staying. The first disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ actually asked Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 38 to 39. They asked, "Master, where are you staying? Where are you staying?" Jesus told them, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." That's John chapter 1, verse 38 to 39. "Come and you will see." So they went, saw where he was staying, and spent that day with him. When God is blessing you with deeper relationship, people want to know where you stay. They want to come where you stay. Initially, they don't want you even to come where they are staying. It is only when the relationship grows that they also want you to come and see where they are staying. These disciples, they came, saw, remained. They came where Jesus was staying, they saw where he was staying, they stayed where he was staying, and then what did they do? They went back and brought others. So as you share your life, they will soon begin to share their own life with you. They may be skeptical in the beginning, but very soon they will open up. It is normal. You are just a stranger to them. Visit them as they begin to open up to you. Labor to have Christ impacted into their lives. The Bible tells us, Paul talking about his spiritual children in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, he said, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." So these disciples, they came to where Jesus was, they saw where Jesus was, and they remained, and they went and brought others. We're saying that labor to ensure that you impart Christ. Christ is imparted, Christ is established in the life of those who are actually ministering to. Initially, you are not really having any meeting with them, but you are just building them at individual level. And Paul did the same thing. He labored through prayer, "My dear children, for whom I am in travail, like a woman who is laboring, in order to have Christ formed in you." Laboring to have Christ formed in them. Take them as your own children and labor to have Christ formed in them. Labor through prayer, labor through love, labor through your gentleness, your Christ-likeness, and let Christ become formed in them. Do with them what you want them to do tomorrow. Read the Bible with them, study the Bible with them, pray with them, then teach them to pray and study the Bible with their own families. So what you want them to do tomorrow, begin to do it with them. As you do this with them, and as you yourself do it with other families, you will soon become a link between one family and the other. And as barriers are broken, it will not be long because of you bring two families to start meeting together. together. And without their knowledge, two families have started meeting together with you as their leader. What actually has happened is that without their knowledge, and without your advertising anywhere, and without you proclaiming anywhere, that let us start a church. A church has started where there is no church. What do? You set out to establish a family by relating with them, by caring for them. You preach, you warn them, you started building them for the Lord. Then in another family, you preach, you warn, started building, and a relationship was established. And very soon, two hostile families, their hostility towards one another is broken because you went there, and the two hostile families, our former hostile family, are brought together. They are now meeting with one another. A church has actually started where there is no church. We do not start a church where there is no church by putting advertisement all over, by putting poster all over that we want to start a church. We start a church by being a seed, and that seed germinates, and that seed will produce others. A church where there is no church. In our next teaching, we shall actually be seeing how to begin a church where there is no church. We shall deepen on what we have handled today. May the Lord bless you.